This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, Pope Francis leads the faithful in St. Peter's Square in the Angelus prayer on the first Sunday of Advent, and the Archbishop of Accra in Ghana calls for novena prayers ahead of the country's 2024 elections. We shall conclude our program today with a segment dedicated to the family, in which we hear that the one-time best world teacher has done it again. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis, on 1st November, the first Sunday of Advent, led the faithful and pilgrims present in St. Peter's Square in the recitation of the Midday Angelus prayer. Just before the Marian prayer, the Holy Father reflected on the gospel reading of the day and encouraged everyone to turn our gaze to heaven and to open our hearts to the Lord, who carries our burdens and sustains us on our journey. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Pope Francis led the customary Angelus prayer on this first Sunday of Advent and reflected on the gospel reading in which Jesus speaks to us about cosmic upheavals and the anxieties and fears humanity faces. The reading recounts how the Lord offers words of hope and encouragement. And when speaking of the coming of the Son of Man, he tells his disciples to stand up and raise their heads to heaven as their redemption is at hand.
L'invito di Gesù è questo: alzare il capo.
The Pope explained how the Lord's concern is that the disciples' hearts do not grow drowsy with earthly concerns and that they await the coming of the Son of Man with vigilance. Persecutions, wars, and natural disasters made up catastrophic events of many of Jesus' contemporaries, the Pope pointed out, and anxieties for the future and the end of the world abounded. The Lord knows their hearts are burdened with fear, the Pope observed, and the Lord helps the disciples to be free of worldly anxieties and false convictions of security by showing them how to be vigilant with their minds and hearts, remembering God's plan for salvation, even amidst the most dramatic events of history.
E per questo suggerisce loro di volgere lo sguardo verso il cielo.
The Pope explained that by turning our gaze to heaven, we can better put into context the challenges in our own lives as we journey to the Lord. The Pope said Jesus' call to vigilance and awareness extends to all of us as well. He suggested we reflect on our own lives and outlooks, whether we're letting ourselves be discouraged or crushed by the anxieties and worries of our lives and world situations, or if we have the faith and courage to lift our heads up to see the Lord, who is our help and salvation. In conclusion, he prayed that this Advent season may be a precious opportunity to lift our gaze to the Lord, who lightens our hearts and sustains us on our way. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Soon after praying the Midday Angelus, Pope Francis made an appeal for lasting peace in the world, saying, "The pursuit of peace is a responsibility to be borne by all." Looking ahead to the Christmas season, the Pope exhorted the faithful to be wary of desensitization and indifference to the horrors of war, saying, "All of humanity is defeated when war prevails." Chaos Gussi has this report.
È mia speranza che lo spiraglio di pace che si è aperto possa portare al cessate il fuoco su tutti gli antefronti.
I hope that the glimmer of peace that has emerged can lead to a ceasefire on all fronts, Pope Francis stated after praying the Angelus on December 1st, referring to the ceasefire agreement signed between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Israel to end 13 months of fighting. However, both parties have accused the other of breaching the ceasefire agreement. The Pope also challenged the Lebanese people to elect a president as soon as possible. Pope Francis reiterated his concern for other areas of the world in conflict, including Gaza, Syria, and Ukraine. He shared his concern for the release of Israeli hostages and petitioned once again that humanitarian aid be able to reach the Palestinian population.
pensiamo che l'inverno è alle porte e rischia di esacerbare le condizioni di milioni di sfollati. Saranno mesi difficilissimi per loro. La concomitanza di guerra e freddo è tragica.
Speaking of the approaching winter season, the Pope remembered martyred Ukraine. He called the combination of war and cold temperatures tragic and underscored that for the millions of displaced people, winter will be difficult. He renewed his challenge to the international community and to every man and woman of goodwill to do everything possible to stop this war and to promote dialogue, fraternity, and reconciliation. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The Catholic Archbishop of Ghana's Archdiocese of Accra, John Bonaventure Kwofi, has invited priests, religious and the lay faithful in Accra for a spiritual preparation ahead of the 2024 national elections expected this month in the West African nation. In a pastoral letter addressed to the people of God in the Archdiocese, Archbishop Kwofi has urged the faithful to join in a novena to divine mercy, seeking God's intervention for peaceful, transparent, and fair elections. The novena began on Wednesday, 27th November, and concludes on Friday, December 6th, 2024. The event will be a time of prayer and reflection for the peace and stability of the country during the elections. On Saturday, 7th December, the nearly 18.8 million Ghanaians registered to vote are expected to take part in the country's ninth general election since multi-party politics was introduced in the early 1990s. With a reputation for ordinary transfer of power between administrations in the last 30 years, the country has had a series of closely fought but peaceful polls. The current Vice President Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia and former Head of State John Mahama are the two leading contenders in the polls. In a communique issued on 15th November at the end of their 2024 plenary assembly that took place in the Obuasi Diocese, the Episcopal Conference of Ghana re-echoed their call for all persons and institutions to respect democratic practices related to the elections of public officers. In South Sudan, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Juba, Cardinal Stephen Amiel Martin Muller, has expressed hope in the Tumaini initiative launched by President Salva Kiir. The aim of the initiative is to bring lasting peace in the East Central African country that continues to grapple with the devastation of a civil war. In a meeting that was held on Monday, November 25th, between the South Sudanese head of state and a delegation of bishops in the country, Cardinal Amayewu is quoted as telling the media that the Catholic Church leaders know that the president is a man of peace, and he informed them about the Tumaini Peace Initiative. He explained the fact that President Kiir had assured the Catholic leaders that a team from the South Sudanese government is now ready to travel to Kenya's capital, Nairobi, to negotiate in order to achieve lasting peace in the country. The Tumaini Initiative is a memorandum of understanding signed by the transitional government and the opposition movement alliance. It was launched in May 2024 by President Kiir and seeks to facilitate mediation between the government of South Sudan and the holdout groups who previously refused to sign the revitalized agreement for resolution of conflict in South Sudan agreement in Addis Ababa. Citing concerns over unresolved issues, the initiative gained momentum after the endorsement by Kenyan president and has since been a critical step in the peace process. During the November 25th meeting, President Kiir reassured the bishops that their concerns about the nation's peace would be addressed. Cardinal Jean-Pierre Coutois of Ivory Coast has urged those serving high offices to be conscious about when it is the right time to step aside and leave. He was speaking at a Thanksgiving Mass to mark his retirement from the ecclesial governance of the Catholic Archdiocese of Abidjan, underscoring the importance of humility and self-awareness in episcopal ministry. Cardinal Kutu expressed his appreciation to all who supported him during the 18 years he served in the Ivorian Metropolitan See. Indeed, when one has exhausted one's usefulness, the joyful acceptance of one's uselessness is a great service, the Ivorian Cardinal said during the November 23rd Eucharistic celebration that was held at St. Paul Cathedral of Abidjan Archdiocese. Commenting on the gospel readings of the day on the parable of the talents, Cardinal Kutwa urged the faithful to take responsibility for their roles in human history. The Master's absence is an invitation to assume our duties as faithful servants, he said. The Catholic Church leader encouraged Christians to make the Lord present to the world and their brothers and sisters. Let us no longer be afraid. Let us dare, for Christ is with us yesterday and today, he said. The Emeritus Archbishop of Abidjan, Cardinal Jean-Pierre Kutwa, was born on 22nd December 1945 at Blockhouse in the Archdiocese of Abidjan. He was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Abidjan on 11th July 1971. He holds a doctorate in biblical theology obtained from the Pontifical Urbanian University in Rome. On 15th May 2001, Pope St. John Paul II appointed him as Metropolitan Archbishop of Gagnoa in Ivory Coast. And on 2nd May 2006, he was appointed as Metropolitan Archbishop of Abidjan. He was later created and proclaimed Cardinal by Pope Francis in the consistory of 22nd February 2014. In the island nation of Mauritius, religious leaders have called on the country's newly elected government to take action in addressing the nation's key challenges and to work towards the development of the Mauritian citizens. The Indian Ocean Island Nation is led by Prime Minister Navichandra Ramgoolam. In a statement issued on Monday, November 25th, members of the Council of Religions in Mauritius extended their heartfelt congratulations to the newly appointed Prime Minister, ministers and members of Parliament, wishing them success in their mission to lead the nation towards continued development and prosperity. The church leader said further that efforts are therefore required from the political leadership and the civil society in order to implement the necessary reforms to address the nation's current challenges. These include, they said, achieving food self-sufficiency based on a resilient and sustainable economic model, fostering the interdependence of capital and labor, and importantly, developing an education system that supports the holistic development of the Mauritian citizen, not just materially, but even more so spiritually and morally, the religious leaders said. Haiti has plummeted into extreme poverty, leaving many parents too poor to feed their children. Out of desperation, these children are lured into gangs which offer food and money, only to trap them in an endless cycle of violence. Save the Children is warning that escaping this cycle is nearly impossible. According to Gabby Breton, Humanitarian and Partnership Director of Save the Children Haiti.
You know, when the economic situation is not there, no opportunities, and then the gang did expand their territories, and it became at the level of they almost control 85% of the capital. So it's a cycle of violence, and this situation make the schools difficult to operate. If kids cannot go to school, it's also creating again another condition for gangs to recruit them, because they are struggling with the economic situation among the families. Then the schools are paralyzed due to violence. As you know, it's more than 700 internally displaced persons from Port-au-Prince that has to escape violence. So kids are in the middle of that. So either they are following the families that have to escape violence, and they are often going in the school sites to search for safety. So when they arrive at the school sites, the kids that were attending class cannot attend because now it's full of people that are stressed by the violence. It's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids that cannot attend school. School were often also providing a snack. So this is also part of a kind of a protection system that is collapsing. If kids cannot go to school, parents has issue to go back to their economic activities. So it's becoming like a real cycle of violence and so much issue in terms of finding food and money for being able to live in the dignity. So kids that has often no voice are among the most vulnerable. So they are the victim, the most affected and the most impacted. And with this, we impacted the future too, because they are the future. So the situation is terrible. We're talking about more than 150 gangs are controlling, trying to expand their territories. Now they have a movement to create an alliance.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, Family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family.
Over the years, Ghanaian religious sister, a member of the Congregation of the Handmaids of the Divine Redeemer, Sister Jacinta Kwachiwa Osei, has won many national and international teaching awards, and the awards keep coming. This month, she was honored with the Outstanding Philanthropist Award for the year 2024. We spoke to Sister Jacinta on phone all the way from Accra about her new philanthropist award and also some of her humanitarian work in Ghana.
Thanks so much, Father. Sister Jacinta Ikea Kwachua Ose, HBR. I belong to the Congregation of the Handmaids of the Divine Redeemer of Accra. I'm from Ghana. I'm a professional teacher.
Sister, you're a professional teacher and you won Teacher of the World, and recently you won also another award as the National Philanthropist. Talk to us about this new award.
Thank you, Father. This very year, I've won two different national awards. The first one was the Joy News Impact Makers Awards, latter part of August. Then, just some few weeks ago, I won the Outstanding Philanthropist of the Year. And I've been able to chalk a number of successes because of the humanitarian activities I engage in. So apart from my teaching role, I do also visit the sick, the poor, and the needy in our communities. I've been able to mobilize to renovate and refurbish school blocks. I've provided teaching and learning aids to schools in deprived communities. So far, I have distributed over 3,000 textbooks to some selected schools within some deprived communities. I visited the inmates at the prison service. I have visited the leprosarium. I visited orphans at a number of orphanage homes. And I do also visit communities, deprived communities, and donate items to them. I engage in a whole lot. And this merited me that award as an Outstanding Philanthropist of the Year 2024.
Sister, you sound like a one-woman NGO doing all these great things. How is this all possible? How are you able to fund all this? Where do you get the time to do all of this?
Thank you, Father. Yes. I'm able to embark on a number of educational and humanitarian projects and programs because of the support I get from my benefactors and benefactresses and family as well. So individuals come on board. When I bring out the idea and it's laudable, they also support. And I work with other colleagues who have also been helping in that regard. So that is how we are able to put resources together to cater for such needs.
And the organization part of it, what kind of people are working with you, or is it the sisters?
Okay, thank you, Father. No, they are also colleague teachers. So we have a young foundation called Fans Care for All Network. And this young foundation, that is what we do. We extend a helping hand to people in the deprived communities. We make sure that they feel free, they feel happy to live. And so some other colleagues, they are all teachers. We came together to embark on this educational and humanitarian trip.
Sister, what does this award that you have won, what does it mean in practical terms? Is it just a recognition for what you are doing to encourage you and to encourage others?
Perfectly. So it's given to me to urge me on to continue to offer my best. So the award is being given. I was given a plaque, yes, with the global symbol indicating that I've contributed enormously towards the growth of not only Ghana but the world at large. because this particular one was a global contest. And according to the organizers, they received over 750 plus nominations. Somebody nominated me, an unknown person nominated me. And after going through the processes, they contacted me and they needed further information about me. So they have to send people to conduct investigations into activities and other stuff. And at the end of the day, I was shortlisted among the top 10. And God being so good, I was declared the winner. So that is how the Lord has brought me.
Sister, remind us about your journey since you won the World Teacher of the Year. I forget the year, which one was that?
So, Father, for the awards I've been receiving almost every now and then. It began from 2013. 2013, I was adjudged the second Eastern Regional Best Teacher. Then 2015, I was adjudged the second National Best Teacher in Vocational Category. 2021, I was adjudged the second Most Outstanding Teacher in Ghana. And that was when I was given a 4x4 pickup. New 4x4 Amarok pickup. Then last year, 2023, I entered into the global contest, that's the Global Education Supply and Solution Awards in Dubai, and I was adjudged as overall winner. And this particular year, this is the second award I've received. The first one was the Joy News Impact Makers Award. That award was being organized to recognize the effort of individuals who are doing their possible best to put smiles on the faces of the poor and the needy. And the recent one is the Humanitarian Awards Global, of which I won that particular award as an Outstanding Philanthropist of the Year.
Congratulations to all these things that you are doing and all these awards. And I'm so happy that the people in Ghana and all over the world recognize the things that you are doing. Does this interfere with your calling as a religious nun?
I would say no, because we are called to save. And like the earlier apostles, our forebears, we are called to save. And this is part of service. So if we are there and we see the poor and the needy around us, and there is a little something small we can do to give them relief, yes, that is part of our calling. So it does not conflict with my religious vocation.
Pope Francis is always asking us to go out of the church to reach out to our brothers and sisters, and I see that this is exactly what you are doing. Is it something that you would encourage other sisters to do?
Sure, yes. I will encourage my other sisters also. Maybe they may not even do the same line I'm doing, but they may also have other ways and means of reaching out to people who are in need. So whichever way possible, they will be able to identify with the people they live with, the communities in which they find themselves. That is our calling. We should come out and let the people know that we are there for them. And for that matter, when we journey with them, we will be able to draw them closer to God.
Lastly, sister, education is at the core of what you do. You have been a teacher, and several times you have won these awards for being a good teacher. What is the challenge that you see today in terms of education? Because young people say we are graduating with all these certificates and we can't get jobs.
For education is very important. I would say that each and every individual should be offered the opportunity to receive formal education. Because where education can take us, being illiterate cannot take us to that particular end. And for that matter, we should prioritize education. In our world today, most of our females are not given the chance to pursue up to the highest level. And one of the challenges we've been facing is also lack of resources to help in our teaching. So maybe I'll make an appeal to all those who can support in that regard, the teaching and learning resources, those who have the means to support us, to extend a helping hand so that we can also give better tuition to the young ones we are nurturing, because education is the key to success.
Last Sunday, we celebrated World Day for the Poor. How did you celebrate that? What does it say to you and what you are doing in Accra and the surrounding areas?
Oh, for the poor, they are our own neighbors. In fact, caring for the poor is one of the best gifts somebody can offer. For me, when I see them happy, my joy becomes complete. I was once in such a situation. It took the intervention of other benevolent people for me to be able to pursue post-secondary education. Individuals came on board to donate few items to give me a helping hand. I was able to get that push because of their benevolence. So for the poor, they are my neighbors. They are my loved ones. And day in and day out, I try my possible best to mobilize resources so that we can put smiles on their faces. So I will entreat each and every one, especially those who have the means, to just extend a helping hand to the poor and the needy around them. Let's put smiles on their faces. Let's give them that reason, that cause to live. And God will also bless us.
Sister, I would like to thank you for all that you are doing and also for speaking to us. And what next now from here? Where do we go?
Thanks so much, Father. For us, we are working. So once we continue to work for God and humankind, when the need arises that we need to be appreciated, we are there. So that is not my main focus. I'm working for God and humanity. But somewhere along the line, people we work with realize that, in fact, they need to urge us on. And that is how come I do receive a number of laurels. So moving forward, I'll continue to work for God and Ghana.
All the best, sister. And thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you, Father.
Sister Jacinta Kwachiwa Osei, all the way in Accra, Ghana.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
On that note, we come to the end of our bulletin today. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.